nation for inviting us to come along with the Alabama committee men that worked so heartily to put this great lectureship together every year, especially this year, this host congregation here at Northwest Church of Christ. We are just delighted to have a small part in this lectureship this week.
And I,
so we are just honored to be here tonight. And we're just honored to have all the congregation from the surrounding areas to be with us on this Wednesday night so that we can praise the God of heaven together. Of course, tonight my subject, assigned subject, is the guarantee of our salvation. The theme, what says the scripture? The scriptures does say that we as Christians that we have a guarantee that our salvation is guaranteed. That is found, that is predicated in the scriptures. In Ephesians, the chapter is number 1, verses 13 through number 14. The Bible says, in the easy to read translation, it says, in him you also trust. After you heard the words of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Yes, Stephen Cole said one of the joy of childhood and maybe adulthood as well is to receive presents at Christmas or on your birthday. Sometimes you can guess what is under the wrapping paper, but it is still fun to open the presents and find out what gifts you have been given. That is what we see in Ephesians, the chapter is number 1, verse 3 through number 14. In verse 3, Apostle Paul says that if you are in Christ, all of the gifts are under the tree, have your name on them. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Then Paul began unraveling the gifts for us. He shows that we have been chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, who revealed now to us his eternal purpose, and now sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, all to praise of the glory of God. Tonight, we want to unravel the third gift. the truth that believers have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is also called the guarantee of our inheritance. God gives us these pictures of the Holy Spirit to make us feel secure in Christ. You see, many Christians struggle with a lack of assurance of their salvation. The enemy knows that if he can stir up doubts in your salvation, about your salvation, that is, you will not glorify God as you should.
All right.
See, the devil knows that. Physically speaking, every loving parent wants their child to feel secure in their love. You see, that assurance of steadfast love undergirds a strong parent-child relationship. But spiritually speaking as well, our loving Heavenly Father, he wants all of his children to feel secure in his steadfast love.
Yes,
you see, after all, before we even existed, he chose us in Christ.
Yes,
and he determined that we would be adopted into his family, as we see in Ephesians 4, the first chapter, verse 4 and 5. When he did that, he knew everything about us, and yet he still chose us, based on his grace, not on anything in us, to assure us of his steadfast love. He gives us the Holy Spirit as the seal, a pledge of our future inheritance, guaranteeing that he will complete what he has begun in us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
You see, what are these blessings involving the Holy Spirit in our salvation? What is it? The Holy Spirit is our seal of promise. And it is the guarantee of our inheritance.
Yes.
That's what it is, you see.
Right.
And see, in verse 13 of our text, you see, the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the seal of God's ownership. When both Jew and Gentile, when they obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. See, that's God, what he's doing. He guaranteed our salvation, their salvation at that time, and we our salvation tonight.
You see,
on the day of Pentecost, as we see in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 36, well, 37, even verse 36, when he said, let all the house of Israel know surely that God had made that same Jesus, who you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?
All right.
Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin,
and you
shall receive a gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Now notice what God is doing. Here, God is now giving them what they need to assure them of their salvation.
Come on, preacher.
He's giving them a gift of his Holy Spirit. He giving them that spirit. And not only did he give it to them, but he's going to give it to all of them. Because he said, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
That's what he said.
And even in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 32, when the apostles did it before the Sanhedrin counselor, we see when they left there, he talked about the Holy Spirit being given to all them that obeys him. That's all of them. So when a man obeys the gospel, wherever he is, whether Jew or Gentile, when he obeys the gospel, he is sealed with the Holy Spirit. a promise. That's the guarantee. If you don't understand any more about my sermon tonight, that's it. Because even in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13, the Bible says, by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether be you Jew or the Gentile, born or free. All have been made to drink in that one spirit. Apostle Paul speaks to the Corinthians, to the Christian at Corinth, in a similar manner, talking about this ownership here. In 2 Corinthians 1 and 22, he said, he hath put his seal upon us and given us his spirit in our heart as a guarantee. You see, a seal was used during the days in which the Apostle Paul wrote for a number of different functions. You see, the seal was a sign of ownership. You see, Paul declared that the Holy Spirit that came in the moment of conversion is a sign indicating God's ownership of us as individuals. You see, this includes all that we are and all that we ever will be. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19 and verse number 20, the Bible talks about that. He said, in other words, don't you know that your body is the temple that belongs to God, or that belongs to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit whom you received of God, it lives in you. See, you don't belong to yourself anymore. See, you were bought for a price. So bring glory to God in your way you use your body, see. But not only that, the Holy Spirit is the mark of which we are identified as children of God. He who does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to God and is not a child of God, as we see in Romans chapters 8 and the verses number 9. You see, the presence of the Holy Spirit within us will identify us to other believers as being members of the family of God, and those who possess this gift of the Spirit will become known to us as the children of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 16, Paul said the Spirit himself testified with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see, so the Holy Spirit is God's seal testifying that we are his for time and for eternity. That is, for now, while we're in the church right now living, we got that guarantee. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit right now. And not only that, when we die, we go into heaven. Or if the Lord decides to come back tonight, we are the children of God, we can still go to heaven. But not only that, God brings a seal on us. It's inwardly and spiritual. The Holy Spirit come into the deepest zone of our being and begin the work of God. You see, God, he works from the inside to manifest his presence in an external manner through the life and love of our lips. We see this manifested in the book of Acts chapter 2. And I want you to look with me for a moment at that. Look at Acts chapter 2. If you will, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And look there at verse number 42. Y'all remember on the day of Pentecost. I want you to see the brain, how we belong to the Lord and how we at work for the Lord, how we should respond since the Lord owned us. Is that right? Look what it was like on the day of Pentecost. Look at Acts chapter 2. that when they became saved, the Bible says, and verse number 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in the fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. Is that right? He said, and fear came upon every soul. And he said, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And now watch this. He said, and all that believed were together and had all things common. See, look at them manifesting the Spirit of God in their lives. See, had all things common. You see, and not only that, and they sold their possession and good and parted them unto all men that every man had need. Look at them. They are sharing. What the hell? See. And go with that for me, Brother Rudolph, and look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter is number 8. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 8, and look at verse number 1, and watch what he had to say about the Macedonian Christian there. But I want to understand, I want you to see this manifestation here of that, of those that are labor, those who are wearing that grain, those who are saved, those who belong to God, who belong to Jesus Christ, those who are being kept by the Holy Spirit. Of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 9. These folks, they were suffering. They were going through poverty.
Yeah.
These Christians at Macedonians. But watch what he says. Brother, right, look right about verse number, start with verse number 2.
And that in a great trial of affliction.
Yes.
The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty,
yes, deep
abiding unto the riches of their liberality.
Their liberality. Go ahead.
For to their power, I bear record. Yeah. And beyond their power, they were willing of themselves.
They were willing of themselves to give. Now, the reason why they were able to give to the apostles, because they first gave themselves to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And when they gave themselves to the Lord, then they were ready to give themselves to the service of whatever the apostles required of them to do.
Yes, sir.
Brother William, what are you after here? What are you trying to get folks to see? You see, what I'm trying to say, see, God bring a seal on us is inwardly and spiritually. You see, each one who has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ is not God's property. It's not God's property. Am I right about it? In verse number 14, our text, the gift of the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. You see, the word translate guarantee is a word that comes from the business world and from the language of economics. The word referred to the deposit that is made on a purchase, guaranteeing that the purchase is committed to completing the business transaction. I'm going to write about it, church. See, the Holy Spirit is God's earnest money, down payment that the Lord put on you and I. Am I right about it? The Holy Spirit is God's first installment on us. The Holy Spirit is God's guarantee that he will complete his work of redeeming us completely. See, the Lord didn't just put us out there and leave us. It is the Holy Spirit who brings about the beginning of God's good work within us. In this experience, we receive salvation from the penalty of sin, which is death. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. Paul said, I am convinced that God, who began this good work in you, will carry it through to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. You started a good work. The Holy Spirit is telling you that, listen, God is going to do what he said he would do. What the Holy Spirit is doing, he is guaranteeing you that that's going to happen. It is the Holy Spirit who continue the process of saving us from the practice of sin. Even as we see in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and number 13. You see, this process began at the moment of conversion and continued without ceasing until either the Lord Jesus returned or until death comes to us. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that God will eventually raise us from the dead and complete the great salvation he has provided for us through Jesus Christ. As we see in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 through number 21, Paul said, we, however, are citizens of heaven. We look forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming from heaven as our Savior through his power to bring everything under his authority. He will change our humble body, a vile body, according to the King James, and make them like his glorious body. I don't know about y'all, but I'm looking for that day when it comes. I'm going to write about it, y'all. That day is coming when Jesus is going to change my old mortal body, and I'm going to put on that wonderful body of heaven. Am I right about it? That body like that of Jesus, you see, my friend. You see, the thrilling truth is stated even more explicitly in Paul's epistle to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 11. Look what Paul said. He said, now does the spirit of the one who brought Jesus back to life live in you? Look at the question that he raised. Does he live in you? He said, then the one who brought Christ back to life will also make your mortal body alive by the Spirit who live in you. Is it all right? The same Spirit that brought Jesus Christ back, Brother Rudolph, is going to bring you and I back. Resurrection morning is coming. Getting up morning is coming. And we're going to get up. Am I right about it? That's a guarantee. It guarantees. The Holy Spirit guarantees my salvation now. And not only that, it guarantees that I'm going to heaven. I have an inheritance in heaven with God. We ought to be thankful. That's why Paul said in verse number 3, we ought to thank God for all the spiritual blessings. We ought to praise him. And in verse number 6, we ought to praise him. And verse number 12, we ought to praise him. And in verse number 14, we ought to praise him and give glory unto his holy and divine name. The guarantee of our salvation, the lesson is yours. Thank you.